from CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The federal government's staff cuts may impact a life-saving resource across the Lake Tahoe region. For decades, the Sierra Avalanche Center has provided daily forecasts for those exploring the backcountry, ski resorts, as well as for law enforcement during search and rescue missions. But recent attempts by the Trump administration to lay off large portions of the federal workforce have now put those daily forecasts in limbo, because the Sierra Avalanche Center has a partnership with the U.S. Forest Service. And last weekend, the center announced that it may be forced to lay off one of its three forecasters, a decision that could potentially put lives at risk at the height of avalanche season. Joining us to talk about the impact of this potential staff cut is the center's executive director, David Reichel. Welcome.
Good to be here.
So let's start with a little bit of history with the Sierra Avalanche Center. How long have you been around?
This is our 21st season operating.
And how do you all operate for someone who doesn't walk in the world of avalanche forecasts?
Yeah, like most of the avalanche centers in the Western United States, we're a partnership between a nonprofit and the U.S. Forest Service. So I'm the executive director of the nonprofit, which fundraises money and supports some nonprofit staff. But the core of our operations is the daily forecast, and that is created by three U.S. Forest Service employees or the U.S. Forest Service forecasters who work with us.
Yeah.
And we fundraise money that we then give to the Forest Service that pays for 75% of their salary.
Okay, so that's how that partnership works between the nonprofit and the Forest Service. Yeah, I wasn't aware that this actually exists elsewhere outside of the Sierra Avalanche Center. Who typically uses your forecast for avalanches? Who are the main groups of people using them?
Our forecast covers the backcountry in the greater Lake Tahoe area. So backcountry skiers, snowmobilers, snowshoers, like aggressive snow play enthusiasts, anyone traveling out in the mountains in the winter in Tahoe should be reading the forecast. And that's who we, you know, direct our services for.
Yeah. And law enforcement uses it too, correct?
Well, correct. So if something were to go wrong, someone gets lost in the backcountry, you know, something like that, and search and rescue groups go to respond and help them. And those are usually under the auspices of the local sheriffs. Those groups will obviously protect themselves and carefully check the forecast, avalanche forecast, before they head out and, you know, put volunteers potentially in harm's way.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of how many people go to your website?
Yeah. So over 200,000 people visit our website, individual users visit our website each year. It goes up a little bit during huge winters and goes down a teeny bit in drier winters, but it's a little over 200,000 the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, all of us take in forecasts, of course, but what goes into putting an avalanche forecast together?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, today the avalanche forecast is high because a giant storm is hitting, you know, our region, and it's pretty clear. There's just 100 mile an hour winds up high, many feet of snow are forecast. It wasn't the hardest forecast in the world to create this morning, but you know, it requires us knowing what this new snow is going to fall on. And we have a relatively complex snowpack. We have some weak snow, some dangerous layers. They're buried beneath the surface. It's really it's complex. And so, you know, we have staff in the field, you know, all winter long monitoring that, sharing their observations and, you know, discussing internally what the conditions are.
What kind of experience does an avalanche forecaster have?
I mean, they need to have avalanche training. So everyone starts off with sort of recreational level one avalanche classes, which are, you know, hundreds of people take essentially every weekend in the greater Lake Tahoe area. And then, you know, professionals build upon that. So our forecasters have all taken sort of the highest level of avalanche classes. They also attend international snow science conferences and keep up to date with the latest research on how snow changes over time and also how best to communicate risk to a public who wants to go out and have a good time, but maybe doesn't quite appreciate the risk as much as they should.
Yeah. Why are you passionate about this?
I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area and I wish I was growing up in Tahoe. And then when I sort of was freed from college, I moved to the mountains and just enjoyed playing in the mountains ever since. You know, I was definitely a consumer of the Sierra Avalanche Center products before I started working for this organization. And so I'm just one of the folks who loves to play in the mountains and definitely needs to read the forecast carefully.
Yeah, well, let's get into the latest development. This was last weekend, the Sierra Avalanche Center. Y'all announced that it was at risk of losing a forecaster. What exactly happened?
So, the federal government is trying to reduce the federal workforce, and probationary employees across the country have gotten notifications that their jobs are at risk, and that included one of our three forecasters. So, it's been less than 2 weeks since I think he was made aware of this possibility. It's a very short amount of time, and obviously February is not during a big storm cycle. It's not an ideal time to lose an avalanche forecaster, but it's kind of out of our control, and there's a lot of uncertainty around this, but that's the outlines of what is happening.
I imagine since you have three forecasters, losing one, that's a third of your workforce. That would be a huge hit.
It would be, there's no time to plan for it. It's happening right now. We're sort of, pretty much in panic mode over it. But yeah, we anticipate that if our forecaster were terminated, then we would have to drop from doing daily avalanche forecasts to 4 days a week, which is really would be awful. I'm not aware of any full avalanche centers who don't offer daily avalanche forecasts. It barely kind of works at that level because the continuity is really critical in both understanding it and in communicating it to the public. But just with that workforce, that's what we'd be required to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think about how a standard weather forecast can change dramatically within 24 hours. So if you're reduced from doing it daily to 4 days a week, going from day four having a 72-hour break and then giving a forecast, that could be problematic, especially during the height of avalanche season.
Absolutely. I mean, yesterday the avalanche danger was moderate and today it's high. That's like skipped a whole step. It's very different, and today is very dangerous. So, if something like in the weather can change quickly, so if we weren't able to anticipate that, days in advance, this would be a very, very challenging sort of storm to forecast without daily avalanche forecasts.
Do you have an idea when you'll find out if this cut actually goes into effect?
I don't think we do. We have not gotten great communication from folks about this. We've certainly, since we put out that call, we've had good conversations with our local congressional offices, and the staff there have been responsive. But, ultimately, we have not gotten assurances that this won't happen or really much direction about when we might have clarity.
This isn't the first time there have been furloughs or even a government shutdown. That has become relatively common in recent years. How was the Avalanche Center affected by these, and how is this different?
In the past, when there have been government shutdowns, sort of critical life-saving personnel have historically been exempted. And so that included our forecasters. So some of the support staff that they would normally interact with at the Forest Service might have been furloughed or laid off or not worked during those government shutdowns, but they have still been able to work, and we've been able to maintain daily avalanche forecasts in the past.
Yeah. One part of the announcement from the Avalanche Center I want to hone in on. You said that a potential layoff, if it does happen, it actually wouldn't save the government any money. Can you explain that for us?
Sure. So the partnership is that the nonprofit fundraises money and gives it to the Forest Service to pay 75% of the forecaster salaries. So we've already done that. We wrote a large check to the Forest Service in November for the salaries of the three forecasters for this whole season. So if one of them were terminated any time now, presumably the federal government would refund that money that they already have.
And do you think, well, I guess we're going way down the road here, if you think you would get the money back if in that event?
We expect we would. We don't want to have to find out. And this has never happened before. But I believe that's the language that is in the contract that we have with them. So we would expect that we would.
Yeah. Have you thought about a plan B, given that this is still a possibility?
We absolutely have. 90% of our brain matter is focused on not losing the forecaster. That would be the best outcome in our minds. And then, we're also obviously still forecasting for the storms and the danger that we're experiencing right now. But if we do lose this forecaster, and there will be a disruption, I don't think we can avoid that. But we will certainly try to adapt and be flexible and do what we can to continue providing this kind of critical service to our region.
Yeah. In your announcement, you put a call out asking people to call their local representatives if they're in this area. That would be Representative Kevin Kiley in California and Representative Mark Amodi in Nevada. Have either of them reached out to you?
I've had good conversations with staffers in both of those offices, and they're certainly letting me know that they're doing things and making calls and whatnot. And I certainly appreciate that. At this point, we haven't gotten kind of definitive answers. They're still, I would suspect, in the sort of information gathering phase of their outreach to us, but they certainly answer our calls and are being helpful so far.
Yeah. In the last minute or two that we have, I mean, you mentioned that we have very active weather moving across the Sierra. You went from a moderate risk to a high risk of avalanche danger. We're going into a 3-day weekend. What do you want people to know if they want to explore the backcountry? We're talking Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, today the avalanche forecast is high. I mean, travel in avalanche terrain is not recommended under high avalanche danger. We have a complex snowpack. The avalanche danger, once the storm ends, will probably decrease, but it's not going to go to zero. It's not going to be safe in any short amount of time. So people who want to travel into the backcountry this weekend, when the snow will be extremely appealing, need to be heads up. They need to go to the Sierra Avalanche Center website, read the forecast carefully, make a plan, know where to go, know where not to go, have good partners, have training. It's definitely a weekend where there'll be very appealing snow out there, but also there is danger. So people need to be heads up.
David, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
David Reichel is the executive director of the Sierra Avalanche Center, which recently announced that they may be impacted by federal staffing cuts and forced to lay off one of their forecasters during peak avalanche season. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. Don't let the current conditions fool you, as we just talked about. Up until recently, it's been a pretty dry winter, which has been a bummer for skiers and snowboarders. But powder lovers are finally going to be rewarded with these series of storms that are bringing significant new snow, potentially, to the High Sierra and Tahoe regions. Also a holiday weekend, President's Day is on Monday. Valentine's Day, an unofficial holiday, is on Friday. So people may be taking advantage of this extended weekend to head to a ski resort. So we're going to check in with one right now in North Tahoe. Patrick Lacey is the public relations manager at Palisades Tahoe in Olympic Valley. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So it's stormy here in Sacramento right now. The rain has just been coming down. What's it like in the higher elevations in the Olympic Valley? What does it look like for you?
Definitely. I mean, if you guys are getting some rain down there, we're usually getting some snow up here. The largest storm of the season has just arrived in Tahoe this morning. As of 6 a.m. this morning, we've already seen 6 inches of snow on our upper mountain, and there's still more to come down. It's large, it's powerful, it's and more importantly, this storm, it has a lot more moisture, and it's going to be a little bit cooler this time. You know, from the last storm cycle that we did have, it was a little bit warmer, so we were getting some more of rain and snow and then rain, but snow levels should fall by this evening all the way down to 5,000 feet and should stay there by Friday morning. And by the end of this storm, we could see up to 3 feet of snow. So the biggest storm of the season is here in Tahoe.
Yeah, given that, I mean, we had a pretty active end of the year in December, but the spigot kind of turned off and it was dry in January. Now you're talking about hopefully experiencing like a really robust storm system that will drop a lot of snow. How has this season been so far for ski resorts like you?
Yeah, so this one has definitely been a little bit more wet. We are in that La Nina cycle, which those tend to be a little bit more wet, but you're not really sure if it's going to be cold or if it's going to be a little bit warmer. So this season has been a little bit on the upper end in the temperatures, but we're still seeing snowfall. And relatively, this is a pretty average season for Palisades Tahoe.
Yeah. When it comes to safety, because storms are good for snow, but storms are also dangerous. Winds are a huge component. I've actually been to one of like the highest elevation chairlifts at Palisades, and the wind can be pretty gnarly. What do you want people to know if they're planning to head to the resort this weekend?
Yeah, if you are going to be planning on coming up, the first thing, check the Caltrans quick map for road conditions. That's going to be your best bet to see if the roads are open or closed. And then also check out our Palisades Tahoe app to see the status of our of the lifts. They're going to be open or closed. During these stormy times, we typically do close our upper mountain because those winds definitely just rip through there. Now, when it comes to safety with all this deep snow, make sure to ride with a buddy. That's one of the best ways to stay safe and see, you know, make sure to stay clear of tree wells. Those trees can be really dangerous whenever you get close to them. And then just kind of take it a little bit slower during this during high snow time, just because it's way too early in the season to get an injury.
Yeah. Of course, we just spoke with the Sierra Avalanche Center. I know you are well aware of this center, and they provide a lot of safety information for people in the backcountry when it comes to avalanche safety. But people may not necessarily think of avalanche danger at a resort, even though they do happen and they have happened at Palisades. What about avalanche safety? What have you learned from previous experiences?
Yeah, so once again, the best way to stay safe is riding with a buddy. Even in those higher storm periods, it's also smart to just ride with a beacon too, a beacon probe and a shovel if needed. If you are going to be skiing in some more terrain avalanche prone areas. But other than that, our patrol and our avalanche forecasters do a very, very great job of keeping the public safe. And we usually won't open terrain if we do see that it is unsafe for our guests.
Yeah. Finally, I know you gave a shout out to Caltrans Quick Maps because getting up can be a challenge, especially on a holiday weekend, especially when it's snowing. I don't know if there's any tips to really avoid traffic necessarily, but you do have a parking reservation system if you want to let people know about that before we send you off.
Yeah, so we do have our parking reservation program in effect for this entire week, because it is California Ski Skate Week as well as President's Day. So we do have a great amount of people coming up, and it just snowed. So we are trying to mitigate traffic as much as possible. And the best way, if you haven't made a parking reservation already, the best way to get to the mountain is carpool with a friend. Take public transit. We have Tahoe Area Regional Transit out here. They do a
Yark.
great job. And guess what? It's even free. It's free for the public. So make sure to come and definitely utilize our public transit system here in Tahoe.
Great advice. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Patrick Lacey is a public relations manager at Palisades Tahoe in Olympic Valley. We've been talking about snow conditions at the ski resort so far this year. Up next, her catchy billboards, they are hard to miss. Something Wrong? Call Anne Fong. The well-known personal injury attorney joins us to talk about her backstory with Sacramento roots. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.